Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord, we pray that your grace may always precede and follow us, that we may continually be given to good works through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
This is a reading from the letter of Paul to the Philippians. My brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. I urge you, Euodia, and I urge Syntyche, to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and have received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go, therefore, into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe, and he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot, and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. It was late in the evening when Herman finally came home from work. He pulled into the driveway and noticed that his wife's car was missing. He trudged through the snow, got out his key, and opened the front door of his house. He sat down to take off his boots, and he happened to look at the hallway closet. Looked like his little girl had been trying on his boots. There were boots and shoes and slippers all over the floor, as well as her ladybug umbrella lying on the floor. Herman's wife and his little girl didn't care about keeping a clean house as much as he did. He sighed. He began cleaning up the disorder, putting his boots away, his slippers, his little girl's boots, her umbrella. Finally, getting everything in order, he managed to shut the closet door with that just barely shut, overpacked feeling. He slowly walked through the living room and into his bedroom. And there again, his wife had some of her blouses just strewn over the bed and his little girl's dresses kind of thrown all over the place. He sat down on his bed. "Why am I so tired all the time?" he thought. As he took off his suit, his thoughts turned to work. You know, I bet Jenkins is going to get the promotion, he thought. He's so much friendlier than I am. I need to get out of my office, but I can't seem to get all my emails responded to in time. I wonder where my wife is. Where's my little girl? He started hanging up his wife's blouses, put his little girl's dresses in a neat pile on the bed. I'm going to make her hang them up herself, he thought. And then he went into the living room and sat down. It was then that he saw a note on the coffee table from his wife. "Herman," she wrote, "it's 5:15 and we had to finally leave without you. Did you turn off your cell phone? I can't seem to reach you. Have you forgotten that it's your little girl's birthday party? Where are you? Come as soon as you get this note." With a start, Herman had a flash of a picture of his little girl's face as she handed him a drawing she had made. "This is me and you bowling together at my bowling birthday," she said. "Daddy, aren't you going to come?" Remembering her face, a door in Herman's heart felt like it slammed shut. Today, Jesus tells us a story about an invitation. It is the greatest invitation that anyone could ever receive. The king's son is getting married, and in biblical times, there was no greater party than a wedding banquet. It was essentially a celebration of life itself. For when the groom married, there was the possibility of children, of life continuing on beyond this life. So the father of the groom would often pull out all the stops. He would bring out all of his best food. Everything that he had to offer would be laid out on the table. The feast could last for up to a week. People would eat and dance, and they'd fall asleep right there and wake up and eat and dance some more. It was like the ultimate lock-in. And in this parable, the king sends out invitation to this great celebration of life, and to his shock and dismay, people turn him down. In fact, he's so surprised that the king sends out a whole nother set of invitations, thinking maybe it was a fluke. Who would turn down this kind of a party? And the king is refused again. And if you read the parable very closely, there are two kinds of refusals. The first kind is of people who seem to hate the king, and they're violent and evil, and they murder the king's servants. But it's the second kind of refusal that I want to focus on with you today. You see, there's another kind of person who doesn't seem to hate the king, probably really likes the king. But it says that these people took the king's invitation lightly. And one of them, he had to go back to his business. And another guy had to go back to his farm. They had to go back into the mundane parts of their life, you know, to finish up what needed to be done, to make themselves happy. They had to get their lives taken care of before they could say yes to the great invitation. And so they turn the king down because they confuse happiness with joy. They confuse happiness with joy. They think that by finishing up their business, they'll make themselves happy, they'll get their lives in order, and they turn down joy itself. Americans are consumed with happiness. Have you realized that? I went to Walgreens 3 days ago. Did you know where Walgreens is located? It's at the corner of Happy and Healthy. One of the best bestsellers right now is a book called The Happiness Project. It's by a young woman who's living in Manhattan and trying to raise her children. And the entire book is a recipe for how to feel good as much as you can. She has a certain kind of schedule you need with your kids, and a certain amount of exercise, and a certain kind of a diet so that you can be happy and fulfill the happiness project. But there is a big difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is a feeling. It's a mood. And like all moods, it comes and goes. It's really beyond our control. No one can make themselves be happy all the time. I knew a girl in college, and I'd pass her in the hall and say, "How are you?" And she'd go, "Wonderful." Made me want to punch her. Nobody is happy all the time. We just aren't. So chasing after happiness is like chasing after the wind. But joy is different. Joy is a state of being. It's an awareness of what God has done for you. In your baptism, God has ushered the great invitation to you. Without strings attached, and not because you deserve it. Joy is an awareness, an awakening to the radical, unreasonable, crazy kind of love that God has for you already. Joy is rock solid. It is finished. It has been done for you. All you have to do is wake up and say yes. Back in the 1930s, in the Bavarian National Opera House, there was a man named Carl Valentino. He was what they called a metaphysical clown. Have you ever heard of those? No? They were like pantomimes. They acted out deep truths about the human condition. So Carl Valentino got up on the stage one evening in his clown costume, and the stage was empty except for one big circle of light. A big spotlight was shining on the stage. And the clown starts to search for something frantically in the light. He's searching and searching and looking and looking. And a policeman comes on stage, and the policeman watches the clown as he's frantically searching for something. And the policeman says, "What are you looking for?" And the clown answers, "I'm searching for my house keys." If I don't find the keys to my house, I'll never be able to go home. So the policeman starts helping him, and together they search in the circle of light for the keys. And this lasts for a while, but they don't find anything. So the policeman finally asks the clown, "Well, did you lose them somewhere around here?" And the clown says, "No, I lost them over there." And he points to a part of the stage that is completely dark. And the policeman says, "Well, if you lost them over there, why are you looking over here?" "Well, because it's dark over there and it's light over here," says the clown. Searching for something that doesn't exist is an exercise in futility. Searching for something that doesn't exist is useless. You spend your life searching for joy, but you think it looks like happiness, and you search in all the wrong places where it doesn't exist. Worrying about your career and your job and your life and your family and whether you're on schedule or not and all these things is like chasing after the wind. You will never find joy by going back to your busyness. Worry, incessant worry, is a refusal of God's invitation. You're saying to God, no, I don't have time for you. I have something more important to be consumed with. St. Paul says in the reading that you heard read so beautifully, "Don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God." Just ask God. All this worrying, it is a chasing after wind. Meanwhile, you have already been invited to the greatest of banquets. Do you know the priest that presides at this table, what that person is called? Does anyone know? The celebrant. Because this is the great celebration, a celebration of life itself. And it's offered to you. The end of the parable is the most disturbing part for me. Because God, or the king, gets really mad. We Episcopalians, we're not comfortable with the parts of Scripture where God gets mad. It doesn't feel good. It feels too judgmental, right? Kind of scary. So one of the things we like to say is, the God of the Old Testament was mad, but the God of the New Testament is love. It's not that simple. If you really read the Gospels, God does get mad in the New Testament. And why shouldn't the king get mad? If you poured out your soul to make the greatest banquet ever, and you invited the ones you love, and they turned you down, wouldn't you be mad? Anger is not the opposite of love. It can be an expression of love. It is indifference that is the opposite of love. God cares so much. God is crazy about you. Of course God gets mad. And when God gets mad in the Bible, it's not pretty. It's not good. But when you turn down the great banquet because you're too busy with minutiae, When you turn down an invitation to your own daughter's birthday party because you're so consumed with work. When you're unable to be generous because you're so scared and you have to play it safe. When you become so busy that you cannot see the beauty of what God has given you in this life, yes, it makes God angry. But it is so easy to please God. It is so simple. All you have to do is show up. Just come. That's all the king wanted. Oh, and there's this part about the guy who shows up without the wedding garment. That's weird, isn't it? St. Augustine teaches that when someone came to the wedding banquet, they would be given a robe if they didn't have one. So it wasn't that this guy just didn't have the right clothes. It's that he had the robe, but he didn't put it on. He didn't care enough to put it on. Which was just as bad as not coming at all. And that too made God mad. The invitation has been made. It was given to you. It is the best thing in the world, and all you have to do is say yes. Amen. Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again. In accordance with the scriptures, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Almighty God, you call us to love you and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Yet we live in a broken world. Show us how to love you here in the urban core of Jacksonville. Merciful God, bless the nations of the earth. Help us to treat one another with kindness and justice. We pray especially for peace in the Middle East and an end to the violence in Central America. I invite you to speak aloud your petitions for the world.
For peace in Iraq and Syria, North Korea, China, Hong Kong, Ukraine.
Merciful God, bless all those who are sick, hungry, lonely, or suffering in any way. I invite you to speak aloud the names of those who need our prayers.
For all who suffer from Ebola and all who care for them.
Merciful God, we pray for the church throughout the world. especially for the Christians of the Middle East, China, and North Korea, and for this congregation here in the heart of the city. I invite you to speak aloud your petitions for the church and this city.
We thank you for this congregation, Father.
Merciful God, bless those who have died. May they see you face to face. We remember especially Mertis Craig. I invite you to speak aloud the names of those who have died.
Susan, Judy, Don, Craig.
Merciful God.
Father in heaven, help us to accept your invitation to joy. This we pray in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Please be seated. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the cathedral. We're so glad that you're here with us. If you're new or visiting and you raise your hand, the ushers will bring you some goodies in a bag, but you have to hold it up so we can find you. Welcome. We're so glad you're here with us today. After this service, the choir is going to give us a treat. They're going to show us some slides from their pilgrimage to Canterbury and Westminster. So come to Tolliver Hall and enjoy a slideshow right after this service. We also have a great author coming to visit us on Wednesday. His name is Robert Lupton, and he is the author of the book Toxic Charity, which we've been studying a lot in the congregation. There's details about his talk in your bulletin. He'll be signing books over dinner starting at 5:15 and speaking at 7, so I hope you all will come. Carl, along with Liesl Gavronsky, will be leading the youth in a lock-in where they sleep overnight here at the church Friday night, so let's pray for them and the teenagers, and for Tim, who has to clean up, right? 7 o'clock, there's also details about that in your bulletin. Brother Clement, would you stand for a moment? Brother Clement is a monk, as you know, who went up to a monastery and became a monk and has come back home to us. Brother Clement is interested in starting the daily office, morning, evening prayer here at the church. If any of you all would like to join him, the meeting that he wants to hold is Saturday at 10, right? This coming Saturday. Thank you. We're getting ready for baptisms on the first Sunday of November, so if you or someone you love needs to be baptized, please let us know. And we have some folks who are on a retreat on Curcio weekend this weekend, so pray for them. And don't forget, just for a few more weeks, we're going to try singing the Lord's Prayer, which is in the beginning S part of your hymnal at the end of the Eucharist. And Ryan Weedy, a member of our vestry, is going to tell us a few words. Ryan is also a neurologist at Mayo. Good to have you.
Thanks, Kate. Well, good morning. Today, I'm going to speak a little bit about pledging and planning. As Christians, we're all aware that absolutely everything we have is a gift from God. And God also gives us the free will to decide what we are going to do with those gifts. We have very considerable gifts, and sometimes we don't plan maybe as much as we would like. I had a little visual aid that I brought for the earlier service with the kids, but I think it might be illustrating something that we'd all benefit from. So if we consider, you want to go at the other end, I started it. We consider all of our money, this banana. We've got a package that God gives us. How do we spend that money? Well, I think most of the time, we determine, you know, we've got to live someplace. So there's a big chunk that comes off for our rent, for our mortgage. A lot of us like to have a car. We're using that. You could just peel. It's complicated.
An Egyptian peeling a banana. Hold on a second. First peel it. Then you can cut it up.
It's going to make a whole lot more sense if we do it that way. Anyway, so what else? We've got other expenses too, right? We invest. If you have children, you know the budget goes very quickly. What else? Well, it's good to have internet. People like cell phone. There's lots of expenses. We go out to restaurants. A few more slices there. It, you know, it's good to have air conditioning. It's nice to have running water. And before you know it, put all of it in there. We're, one more thing. What about the church? What do we have left? Well, we've got this. Obviously, there's another way. And the other way is to plant and to give the first fruit back to God and the church, our ministry as a parish. We all need to learn how to do this throughout life. And I'll just leave you with one message that really meant a lot to me that I received from my grandmother, who was a very wise lady. I was 5 years old, and she would give me a dollar for my birthday. But she didn't give me $1 bill. What she did was, she gave me a dime and then 90 cents. And she said, well, one thing you could do is to give that dime in the offering plate on Sunday. And then you could do whatever you want with the rest of the money. But it's up to you. I think that is the message that we all have today. We are given many gifts, but it's up to us to determine what to do with them. So this week, all of us are going to receive something other than purely junk mail from the U.S. Mail Service. We're going to get our pledge cards, and I would ask you to prayerfully consider what you are going to pledge, how you are going to plan, and think about giving back to the work of the church your first fruits. Thank you.
Thank you, Ryan. Remember the words of Jesus, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For through your Son, Jesus Christ, you have made ready and invited us to this great heavenly banquet. By your grace, you have made us worthy to be your guests. In your love for us, you gather us and clothe us with robes of everlasting joy. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father. And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where with John and all your saints we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to sing. These are the gifts of God for you. You are the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you always. Amen.
Thank you.
Alleluia, alleluia. Let us go forth in the name of Christ.